The deep way is this. Once he says those words, you could interpret it the way Peter and Co. did and say that, this is a hard thing. And then the word preached does not profit you. Are you getting my point? As long as you are looking at the word of God as a set of instructions you are supposed to try and obey, you will have problems. So this is the point. We could look at it as he's saying, make sure you don't divorce your wife, otherwise I'll be angry. But that was not what he was saying. That's how Peter and Co. reacted. They didn't understand yet what it meant to be in the presence of the word of God. What was he saying? He was saying to them simply, in the beginning was not so. Now he began to give them the plan of God. Every man that begins to nod and say amen, 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 okay, we get it, we receive it, we accept it. What happens? He becomes bound to his wife so that trying to remove her will be like ripping off his arm. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to explain. It will not be that, don't take it, if you are not careful, just because Jesus said that, I can't divorce you. Otherwise, by now, your father will have you back inside this house. You know? No. It is that if the father were to come and say, give me my daughter back, the man will have the same feeling as if you held his hand and you take a knife, you want to rip it off from the shoulders. Because the two will have become what? One flesh. That is, that word of Jesus, those words, they were not giving somebody counsel. It was a fusion word. Did you hear what I call it? It was a word of fusion. It was a word by which a man got fused with his wife. It was a word by which you fuse them so tightly together that if you try to separate them, they'll say it is like killing a human being. But when it is preached, it doesn't profit many people because it is not mixed with faith in their hearts. Do you understand my point? What is the reason why it does not work? Why is it that it doesn't bind the man and his wife? Why is it that it does not produce healing? Why is it that it does not produce prosperity? Why is it that it does not produce long life? Why is it that it does not produce the things that God said it should produce? Because of this thing called unbelief. What is unbelief? They stopped looking while he was trying to weld them together. They started looking somewhere else. Do you understand what I'm saying? They started looking somewhere else. It is that somewhere else they were looking at that the Bible calls unbelief. I said it last time, people just don't refuse to obey God. They obey something else. And those things that they are obeying are actually the distractions that prevents the word of God from working in their lives. It is not as if they are just disobeying God. Do you understand my point? That is, the disobedience is a result of the fact that they didn't let God work. God was not trying to say, obey. No. He said, listen, pay attention. What you and I call disobedience is the same thing the Bible calls unbelief. It's a distraction while we obey something else. The focus on the word of God was to allow the Spirit of God enter into us and do its work. That's why in this life, you must fight everything that turns your eye away from the word of God, even if it's a friend. Everything that turns your eyes away from the word of God must be fought. You must fight it. Because it's an electric connection. You know, it's like you're charging your phone. It's not yet fully charged. Somebody comes and removes the charger. Do you understand? Why? He wants to watch a program. And there's only one port where you can plug that phone. You can't say, because my phone was plugged some time ago, unplug it now, it will still be receiving the charge. Once you unplug it, charge stops flowing in and instantly starts discharging. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. The things that we obey, that we call disobedience, because once we obey them, It is not that we are disobeying the word of God. It was not as if God wanted, okay, obey so I can bless you. That is looking at it on a mundane level. The truth is that God was saying, focus, so I can pour my spirit into you. That spirit, when it enters into you, the manifestation of it is what you call obedience. So if God welds a man and his wife together, where we're using that as an example, a while ago, even though you didn't tell him, don't divorce your wife, he can't understand why he should. Have you ever seen anywhere where God said, hear ye men of Israel, do not cut off your legs and your arms? Now, have you ever seen that commandment? Hear ye people of Israel, thou shalt not remove your right arm by the shoulder joint, nor shall you remove the left hand at the shoulder. Thou shalt not remove your legs at the knee, or remove it at the hip. They would have said, is that all we need to do to please you? Don't worry. Don't worry. We are fine. That's how ridiculous the commandment would have been that men don't divorce your wives. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because that word was a word of what? Fusion. That word would have blended them together. But when they didn't understand it, Peter and Co. said, this thing you have said is hard. This thing you have said is hard. Because they didn't understand how it was working. They would have understood that that thing is actually easy. Because it's not an effort. We don't put our effort there. We put our effort on focusing on the word and listening to him. We have been saying it again and again. Listen to this. Faith does not mean I agree. That is the beginning of faith, to first agree. Faith means I'm permanently connected to that thing. No matter the things I see around, every other thing is a distraction. Every other explanation is a distraction. And I must fight them. That's why you can't obey God halfway and obey somebody else halfway. The wire is not well connected. Listen, I said something last time, which is what I'm trying to connect with. So those points of disobedience, are you seeing now, is actually the point at which the power of God starts flowing into people's lives. That's why I said, listen, this Christianity is not a joke. Please, it is not a joke, realize it. We have to enter into the promised land once we leave Egypt. Everything in life that says obey me and disobey the word of God, what that thing is doing is that it's cutting off your ability to imbibe the truth, which is the spirit, which is the energy of God to produce results in your life. That's what it is. Everything that says disobey, it is not just about don't obey the word. It is like I am disconnecting you from the power of God. That's what I am doing. When I say don't obey truth, I said something last time. The reason why many people don't obey truth, of course I said it just now, is because they are obeying something else. And what is the something else they are obeying? Sometimes they are obeying quick results. Let me quickly get promoted. I've used this illustration many times. Those early days, shortly after my NYSC, when the banking industry in Nigeria was still booming, growing like mushroom, I still remember there's one big man in Nigeria, if I mention the name, you quickly know him. In one bank, he wanted to be made a director or something like that. Anyway, a powerful fellow on the board. They refused. He removed his money and opened a bank. Do you understand? Assuming I have some billions of naira in GT Bank, I said, listen, I hold a lot of shares and I want to be on the board of this bank. They said, oh, guy, it doesn't work like that. I said, okay, I withdraw all my money, go to CBN, register. No, that's how banks were growing all over the place. So you see one young boy who's still learning how to shave. He's an assistant manager. Yes, it was all over the place. And I kept on arguing with people that time. Because you see, some things are just clear. It's the word of God. I said, the Bible says you should cultivate faithfulness. I said, you guys are not cultivating faithfulness. They say, move from here, move from here, move from here. You move around, after a short while, you're an AGM. Because the banks usually will give you the position higher than where you are coming from. So the more you move, the faster you are promoted. So you will see people that Jesus will say and say, you have had 5 husbands. A young man started working just about 5 years ago, less than 10 years ago. He has worked in like 8 different banks. Why? Here, he was an officer, grade 2. 6 months later, next bank, higher pay, officer, grade 1. After that, he jumps 8 months later, another bank, he's an assistant manager. Then why? He said he's going up, he's trying to rush up early to become what? Manager. Now, I said, but there's something you guys are not noticing. That the Bible says, cultivate faithfulness. And I can't see any guy here cultivating faithfulness. Now, when I say they got results, now that's the next point I want to make. The results you got is the one you worked for. Be careful in life that you don't build your life around people who got results. Because, listen, God did not tell Adam, you will never eat again. He only said, from the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. And after you sweat and sweat and sweat, this earth will bring you thorns and thistles. You can use it to weave a very nice tiara on your head. People will think, but it is still thorn and thistles. That, listen, your life is going to be full of sorrow. But while you are striving, you will get some bread. So, now, I'm bringing an issue. But there is a bread that God wants to give people. So all the things they are obeying, what is he doing? He's distracting them from letting the Spirit of God flow into their lives so that God can produce his own bread. So that's why somebody said that, is this right, is this wrong? Sometimes in Christianity, it's hard to say, this is sin, this is not sin. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes, you know, somebody said that, is it a sin to do this? There are things that I will do. Like now, the man who called me said they want to go and do train people on how to do their retirement and stuff like that. Is it a bad thing? There are people who do it regularly. But for me, no. Because you know one of the major reasons why I didn't even agree. Because as soon as I finished saying it, you know the way it is. This is Nigeria now. They say it's USAID that's doing it, and they do first. So they are looking for resource persons. What's the first thing that comes to an average person's mind? How much? That it's a 2-day program. They need just 2 resource people, and then so the man's trying to. So the first that comes to my mind is that 2 days talking for USAID shouldn't be bad. The moment that thought dropped in my mind, I told him I'm not doing. Now listen to me. It's not a bad thing. If that's your business, go and do it. But that thought dropping in my mind shows it was not my business. As soon as the thought dropped in my mind, I just said I'm not doing. If they are willing to have me share the word of God with them. I mean, I've gone to speak for a bank before. That was many years ago. The man called me. I don't know how we got to nature. I said, we need to see. We need to talk. So he thought we need to discuss terms. So we agreed to meet downstairs here. So he came. So he talked at the end of the day. And I said, listen, you know, you called me Pastor Banky, right? Yes. I said, you know what I do? I teach the scriptures. The man, you know, maybe wasn't that okay. This is what I charge per hour and stuff like that. I told him flat. I teach the scriptures. So your bank is organizing a regional program, training for all the staff are gathering from all over the place. And you guys want me to come and talk? I said, no problem. But I'm coming there to preach Bible. Is it okay with you? He said, actually, yes, sir, it is. Because what my regional manager said, or is it their guy from Lagos, is that they want a pastor to come. I said, oh, that's what you want. I said, no problem, I'll see you there. So the man was waiting any other thing. I said, no, that's all. I want to just clarify that. Okay, that's all. I said, yes, that's all. You can go. Maybe, I could feel it. The man was going to say, okay, this is what I charge, you know, is a bank. So this is what, as a man of God must eat, you know. And the Lord is good. And the Lord is good.
All right, so back to what I was saying. So you see, the issue here, all right, is not about what is sin, what is not sin. It is sin to me. Anything that will remove my eye from where it is locked on, plugged to that current of God, through which the energy of God is flowing into me and producing my own prosperity. Do you understand what I'm explaining? Because once you take my eyes away, that was what Satan was trying to do. Turn these stones to bread. Jesus said, listen, man shall not live by that bread alone. Because if he went around turning his stones to bread, what was happening was that he was cutting himself away, disconnecting that wire that was connecting, that connected him with divine supplies. That's what this life is about. That's what the word of God is about. Listen, my emphasis, listen, make sure that nothing cuts you off. And I need to say this because that's actually what I came to say before this is entered my mind and I've been on it for some time. There are many people, last time we said it, you know, I was trying to explain that what happens is this. What happens is that we obey something else. That I'm going to emphasize. Once we have obeyed something else, it disconnects us from the word of God. So a man doesn't want to go and hear the word of God when he knows why. What will my neighbors say? Can you see what it is? You know, my family has been in this church. We are elders in this church. But God now sends the word of God to the fellow. If I go now, they will say that I have... Do you understand? He begins to obey societal demands. And that cuts him off from the word of God. God still tries his best to bless the fellow. Tries his best. And last time I ended with it, many people, for that first day I said it, many people are stuck on one spot. Do you know why? The current of God is no longer flowing. And my message to you this evening is, you have to go back to that point and go and reconnect. Listen, it is not about which method did you use. Many times, you know, of course, because I'm in ministry, and for a long time, I may not have a certificate from a particular Bible school, but let me just tell you something. I have done more course content than many people that have doctors of divinity. I don't know whether I can say that humbly or not, but try and believe that I'm saying it with humility. No. I've told you before. It's not a joke. I have gone through more courses. Just to give you a testimony, two testimonies. I had a friend, we used to call him pastor when I was a youth copper. After we finished NYSC, he wrote me a letter. He had a bachelor's in theology. I had a bachelor's of medicine and surgery. We were staying in the same barracks where we did our youth service in Taraba State then. He wrote me a letter shortly after youth service and said that interacting with you, I was challenged to go and study the scriptures. And this was a man who had a bachelor's in theology. I came out of medical school and a house job here. He came fresh from a theology school. And we met during NYC, so we used to interact. So when we start arguing on scriptures, I used to speak from a position of strength. And what was it? Because while we were studying medicine in my room in school, you know, thank God there was no football to watch. There was no Big Brother Africa with their house burnt up, thank God. Nothing. All we did with our free time, in fact, I remember very well, there was a time God raised me up like that. And I'm going to class. If I'm reading physiology, I carry physiology textbook. Then I carry Excellently Growing Faith by Kenneth Hagin and a Bible. So these are, I carry the three of them, my class notes. So four books, because today is physiology day. So I walk to class, sit down. As a rule, I first do two chapters of Excellently Growing Faith. That one doesn't give headache. Nobody's testing your exam. So it relaxes your soul. When I finish it, I give the Lord thanks and I open my physiology textbook and start reading. I did that throughout my years in school. All right? So that was the reason, okay? And then, of course, I continued. We used to go to those days in Winners in Lagos. We used to go for School of Ministry, Bishop Oyedepo. So I'm with them morning till evening, 3 days at a stretch. being taught, not to talk about CDs and tapes and books, all right? So when I'm talking course content, believe me, I'm not joking, okay? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Anyway, because I've been doing this for a long time, you understand, I've heard all kinds of instruction, all kinds of advice on how to build church, build ministry, all of those things. And the vast majority, all right, they do not focus on my being connected with the Spirit from heaven so as to work out effective ministry in my life. They are teaching me methods. I've seen people teach you on how to pull your microphone, how to raise the voice, how to suspend the audience. That the man finished, I just closed the message. I don't want to hear again. I didn't come here to hear methods. Do you understand my point? I speak things I'm persuaded concerning. What am I going to emphasize? If I'm connected with heaven, the effectual ministry will come out of my life naturally. Amen. That's how it is. So many of the things I refuse to get involved in ministry is so as to prevent myself from being disconnected. Listen, somebody will try, listen, to show you how to do your business fast and quick. The Holy Spirit will let you know it's a disconnection. I tell you, what people obey are those, when they are disobeying, they are obeying something. You know, I keep on saying that. What do they want? Rapid results. They want to be like somebody else. This is a ministry thing. I told of one man of God that his own ministry, he knew his ministry. He knew it. He said he knew he was supposed to be singing songs and blessing people with powerful words in ministration in songs. But nobody gave him respect. So he obeyed the crave for respect. It's called the pride of life. He opened the church. Those are the places where you disconnect from the flow from heaven. Where you have removed your wire from where it's supposed to be plugged. Listen, like I said to you, where I was actually going, let me see what I can sit on it briefly, is there has to be a reconnection. And one thing I like about the Spirit of God is alive and well. It's not a general spirit. It's a specific spirit. What I mean is that the Holy Spirit knows you by name. It's not a spirit of principle. He knows your name. So as I'm preaching, he will be telling you, you know where you disconnected? You remember where you disconnected? And my message to you this evening, you have to go back there and do what? Reconnect. Sometimes you say, but what if it's a physical place I can't go back to again? There's a spiritual reconnection. Yeah. And that's what John talked about, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we shall confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Some people need to close church, they open though. I am not joking. Some people need to close it. I thank God for Pastor Sunday Bakari once. He opened branches all over the place. So one day he came back and called everybody together. I said, okay, from now we are closing branch. So you have a choice of two. Either you come back home, close the branch, or if you think you can stand on your own, we will let you go. Branch is not bad. Do you understand? But for him, he knew it was not in order. I've seen people open branches in places. And then, like I said, I pray to God that those among those who come to listen to me must be ministers so they can carry this word and go and help them. And they need to be helped themselves. It's very common in churches. Church starts in Enugu. It opens a church. Enugu is even good. Enugu is rich these days. People like you in Enugu, you can give offering. Thank God. Say thank you. Somebody say amen. Say amen now. Uh-huh. So Enugu, forget the days of Enugu didn't have money. Now Enugu has money. Amen. Say amen, please now.
Amen. Uh-huh.
And your own will come to you abundantly in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. But you know, those days, like, no, the money's in Lagos. The money's in Abuja. The money's in Port Harcourt. The money's in America and the money's in UK. Many pastors open branches in those places for one single reason. So as to get money to feed back the headquarter church. Listen to me, if you are like that, close it. That was where you disconnected. It's not right. Many people open businesses that they don't know how to do, they don't like, they don't care. Why? Their neighbor used it to make money fast and they bought a house. So you see, he starts obeying something else. And that has been the distraction of his soul.
So that word is no longer flowing. And this is a problem with quick, you know, when you have quick results in some things. Anything you get results in disobeying the order of God actually is inferior to where you would have gotten to in life if the word of God was allowed to produce its effect in your life. That is a matter of fact. One that's very common these days is musicians. Because listen, if you sing in church, there's a limit. Yeah, I'm not saying it's wrong to sing outside. Do you understand my point? But whatever it is you are doing, you know, you must understand that you are doing it as part of obedience to God. Let no man, let nobody use money to attract you out of your destiny. Being as famous as Michael Jackson means nothing. You can die trying to fall asleep. You know that's what happened to Michael Jackson. I remember the days of, what's the name of our brother? Too legit to quit. What's his name? MC Hammer. MC Hammer went so broke shortly after. It was unbelievable. Whitney Houston died broke and owing people. I hope you know that. You did not know? Before she died, I had read that she was broke. You remember Whitney Houston's cause of death? What was it? Drug overdose. There's a book, I told you, there was a book that kept me awake the other night. I was reading it. The man talked about how fast his life was moving. That celebrities, he was mentioning names of big people that I don't know much, many of them, but he mentioned one name. Have you ever heard of Vin Diesel? I'm sure, those were, yes. He said, Vin Diesel was my bouncer. He said, that's men who worked for him. That's where they went to become big. But a few years after he made it very big in a world like that, on the street, when he sees the big boys used to beg him to come to his club, he'll be hiding because his life was, in fact, he said there was a time he died for 45 minutes. He was surprised when he woke up afterwards. Why? He wanted to be famous. He wanted to be rich. Many books, they get attracted away. And listen to me, there is nothing Satan can give anybody that God was not planning to give the person more before. Nothing. Nothing. All the glamour and fame people are fighting for, the truth is that it's literally empty. This is not about being religious. You know I'd rather be Pastor Banky any time than be Michael Jackson. This is not about being religious. I know even you would rather be Pastor Banky than be Michael Jackson. Yeah, forget the money. Forget all of this. I'm just explaining the fact that, listen, you don't want to be some of these men, actually, that many people are disobeying the order of God to become like. Because they don't know exactly what they are going through. The days that Chris Okotie was reigning in Nigeria, many people here are too young to remember. The man confessed later when he gave his life to Christ that many of those days, because he had the permanent suit in Federal Palace Hotel in Lagos. As a young boy, a student in UNN here, UNEC, law student. So many of those days, he would come out of the window and the greatest desire of his heart was to jump out and just die. That's what he was just wishing for. That, let me just have the power to climb out of this window and just jump out and die. This is a young man who used to fly from Lagos to Enugu to attend lectures. Do you understand? It's like the bunch being in school. But in the midst of that, he said what he wanted to do was to commit suicide. When people outside were watching him say, this man is lucky. He's living in Federal Palace Hotel. All he's thinking about in Federal Palace Hotel is, please allow me jump out of the window. By the time I hit the floor, I'll be dead. And you put me out of all these troubles of life that I'm in. When Solomon said vanity upon vanity, all is vanity. It's like chasing after the wind. He wasn't joking. No. He meant it. He was there. One of our brothers said he watched a movie, a documentary. About Beverly Hills, is it in Hollywood? Hollywood, yes.
Said the man, this is not a Christian. The man was talking. He said, listen, don't come here. This thing has a spirit that it sucks you in, it takes over your life. That the best thing you can do for yourself, please don't come here. He had been there. So that place is not a place to be. See them walking on cattle on the red carpet. Oh, what is it? You see all of those things? Eh? Is total emptiness. And this is not about saying that being rich is bad. That's not what I'm talking about. Being rich is good if God blesses you. Oh, being rich is very good if God blesses you. In fact, the Bible says the blessing of God makes rich. How do people tap into that blessing? That's what I'm talking about. They must remain connected and not let the glamour of this world attract them, because what that thing does is to distract them away. I remember a young woman was following us for Bible study those days. Then she got a boyfriend that we never saw her again. I told my wife, I said, did you see? All this boy came, this man came to do in her life. Is he boy or man? I don't even know which one of the two now. But whatever it is God came to do in her life was to take her away from hearing the word of God. Some people think, it is this, it is that, he wants to marry, is immorality. No. You can analyze it the way you like. Satan says she wasn't here. Satan just says she must not hear. What is it that will do, that will make sure she doesn't hear? Give her a boyfriend. I thought that my wife was there. Bible study said, no, we have work in the office. Bible study, no, I'm busy. Bible study, they start everything, you know? Explanation. What happened? They had disconnected her. I'm saying this to you. I'm not talking about that young woman. I don't know where she is right now. But this is the way it is. Whatever it is that God planned you for you to be, you will never become it until you reconnect. There is nothing that you can wish or imagine for your life that God did not plan better for you. Nothing. All the things people pursue in life are the things that just disconnect. Listen, let me stop it here because I'm watching my time very closely. Wherever it is that you disconnected, the message for you tonight is go back there and reconnect. One day a young man told me downstairs, he said, I've been missing you, sir. In my mind, if I slap you, this guy was with me that day, he laughed. Why? You are missing me and you are in Enugu. What does he mean by missing me? He used to come hear me teach. So why don't you come and start telling one long cock and bull story on why we don't see him anymore? But you must understand, I'm not one counting who is coming, who is not coming. That's not what my problem is. But you have to be careful in life when you are making your choices. Because those choices, the problem with their spiritual choices, they disconnect you. If it's a wrong one. That is what the problem is. It is not go to church and go and learn the principles of prosperity so you can prosper. No, it is go and connect. Just go and connect. I went to preach once in Abba. I finished preaching. I said, look, that God has keys for everything. I was just explaining something. One young man just walked up to me at the end. He said, you guys laughing because he was there, that he was with me as we're eating. He said, I can give him two of those keys. Just two. So he can use those keys and quickly use it to prosper. You see, that's the problem with the law of Christ. You think church is just go and connect, collect the two keys and then go to market, use it to prosper. No. With church, it is to what? Come back and connect with the Almighty. Then start pouring a spirit into you. As that spirit is entering into you, it is setting you on your feet. In the area of prosperity, it is setting that young man on his feet. It may not happen when he wants it. Because why does he want it so suddenly? Is it not so he can show off to? And God is not competing with those you are competing with. All those competitions are because you don't know who is greater. God knows how great he is. Are you getting my point? He knows, he's not confused. He doesn't have to prove it to you or to anybody. The young man wanted just two of the keys. Listen, Christianity is not like that. It's not just grab two keys and that's it. No, it is remain what? Connected. And I'm saying to you, as you're connected, the energy of God is flowing into you.
Amen.
Literally, it's rearranging your molecules.
Amen.
It's making you immune to certain diseases.
Amen.
It's curing genetic disorders in your system.
Amen.
It is removing poverty from your mind.
Amen.
Oh, a few days ago, my sister and my mom and I were gisting. And I told them, I said, this is why people are poor. When you hear when you hear people talk, that is, as far as they are concerned, every rich man is in a cult. When you are thinking like that, you are going to be poor for a long time. Because you are not going to join a cult. Why are they flying private jets? Like I keep on saying, because they are going to private places. And they have private money. And it's none of your business. Like I always say, some people's cars are some people's private jets. I went to a village once for a wedding. I came out to make a call on a normal Android phone. You know, big screen though. Two young village boys were jumping over my shoulder to look at my phone and whispering to themselves. And I realized to these boys, this is just my phone, not my car. My car is a private jet where they are standing. You get my point? So don't stop pointing fingers. There's a mentality you will have, you will never be rich in life. Are we just going to sit there and say, let's remove the mentality? No. Once you are connected, the Holy Spirit goes there and rearranges that mentality until the charge around your system attracts prosperity. Listen, the power of God is what tells your molecules how to behave, not what you inherited from your father. That's what I'm preaching. Be connected. What did I say? Tell your neighbor. Tell somebody else. Listen, everything you are looking for in life is inside that connection. Yes, it's there. And one thing I can say to you again is, listen, God created you for a purpose. As long as you are connected, you will fulfill that purpose in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It will not happen in this life, all right, that you have regrets. No. Listen, you will be. Let me just summarize what God will do for you in one word. You will be satisfied.
Amen.
That's the summary of it. That's the summary of it. Ooh! That's the summary of it. You will be satisfied.
Amen.
That is the summary of it. In fact, that's where I'm stopping it. In this life, you remain connected. You will be satisfied.
Amen.
He said, with long life, I will satisfy him. The emphasis God has is what? Satisfaction. Listen to me. In this life, you will be satisfied.
Amen.
Just bow down his head and begin to give the Lord thanks. Thank him for this word. Thank him for his word.